Galatians 6 today on Through the Word. But first, a little review of the book thus far. The Galatians were deserting God for a different gospel. They began in grace, but slipped into law. They started by following Jesus. Now they're just following rules. Paul wrote this letter to rescue them and us from legalism. There are two contrasts to follow in this letter. The first one is grace and law. To give you a good visual on how this works, picture yourself in that moment of justification in God's court. Jesus paid the price, the Father declared you righteous, and the shackles come off. He paid the price, that's grace, and grace brings freedom. Hands up, high fives, praise the Lord. Then a man sneaks up and whispers a warning in your ear. Freedom is dangerous. What if your hands get greedy and steal, or get angry and strike? Oh no! Helpful man that he is, he has a rope, and he quickly binds your hands down to your side. Safe. The rope here is the law, rules to hold you back from sin. But what about your eyes? What if they look and covet, or worse yet, lust? Thankfully, your new friend has a blindfold. How convenient. Another rope, another rule, and pretty soon, you are thoroughly bound. Did you know that the word religion literally means to bind up, or more specifically, to re-bind up? Interesting. And this is what religion does, only instead of ropes, it uses rules and rituals to bind you, to hold you back from sin. So you're all bound up, and you may be safer, but are you free? The problem with the bonds and the blindfold is you can't see God, and you can't lift your hands to worship. That's not real freedom. But if you don't bind yourself, how do you keep from sin? That brings us to the second contrast in the book, spirit and flesh. This is the game changer. This is where the battle is won. The Galatians began in the spirit, then tried to finish in the flesh with works and law. But works don't work. It's a spiritual battle, and your flesh can't win it. In chapter 5, Paul reveals the real key: walk by the Spirit. Don't tie down your flesh with rules, crucify it with Christ, and free your spirit to follow His Spirit. Change what you crave. But what if you're trying to walk in the Spirit and you still mess up? That brings us to chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So Christians do still sin. We get caught in the flesh. The legalist Christian responds with judgment, guilt, and more rope to tie him up. So Paul says, send someone who is in the Spirit. They can help restore. The law condemns, grace restores. Then verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The word burden here means a hit to the chest. When your friend gets the spiritual wind knocked out of him by sin, help out. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That means stop being conceited. Legalism breeds conceit. It is self-centered and self-reliant. In the flesh, we try to prove our self-righteousness by comparing it to others' unrighteousness. Stop that. Verse 4, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. So walking in the Spirit means no more comparing. Do good, be good, but don't prove it by comparison to someone else. Just do good for God without forcing others to bear the load of your personal standards. Next up, verse 6 says to pay your Bible teacher. Now, if they're in it to get rich, don't pay them and don't listen to them. But most of us work multiple jobs for years so that we can still teach the Word. So pitch in to pay your pastor a fair wage. Then comes the warning, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So here Paul explains the flesh and the spirit, with a little sowing and reaping. For you city folk, sowing means planting seeds. Your life is a garden, and flesh and spirit are two different seeds. If you want the right fruit, you have to plant the right seeds. If you want apples, sow apple seeds. You want grapes, sow grape seeds. If you want love, sow to the Spirit, because love is the fruit of the Spirit. Sowing to the flesh won't work. Back in chapter 5, the works of the flesh are lust, greed, envy, and all-around dirty, drunken, selfish living. Basically, the party life. But the question is, why do we do all that sowing to the flesh? what are we really after? For example, in college, I liked raves. Music, dancing, and lots of drugs that feel like love. The raver credo is plur. Peace, love, unity, respect. Those are awesome, and they are genuine desires. But it didn't work. We didn't find it. All those drugs led to rape, overdose, greed, and a whole lot of brokenness. What about you? Whatever your sin of choice, what are you really after? And are you finding it? If what you crave is love, joy, peace, freedom, unity, and hope, I have a theory. The whole world longs for the fruit of the Spirit and tries desperately to find it by the works of the flesh. That's the deception. That's the mocking God in verse 7. But it doesn't work. It's the wrong seeds. Lust does not make love. Riches do not make joy. And drugs do not make peace. They destroy you and leave you empty. Verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That's it. Sow flesh, reap destruction. A Christian is set free. But when he uses his freedom to chase after the flesh, he's trying to mock God. But then religion won't make him happy either. The partier looks at religion as the ultimate killjoy, just tying me down to keep me from all that's good. But they are also deceived, into believing that the only two choices are sin and religion, let loose to sin or tied up to stop. But letting loose and tying down are both working in the flesh. There is another option, the Spirit. Back in verse 8, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Understand that Jesus is not religion. He is freedom. Life in Christ is sowing to the Spirit and reaping genuine love, true joy, and real peace. That is eternal life, and the only way to grow it is sowing to the Spirit. So do good, sow to the Spirit, and in verse 9, don't grow weary at it. Seed planting takes patience, but the fruit does come in due season. Do good by the Spirit, and you will reap love. Now, Spirit-filled people are not the only ones who do good. Legalists also try to do good, but often all they really want is to look good. In verse 12, Paul says that they want to make a good showing in the flesh. They do good to look good, then boast about their own good deeds. Verse 14, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This is how it works. The cross is the only way we are saved and is the only way we keep from sin. Our flesh is not tied down with rules. It is crucified with Christ. The old me that lived for the world is dead, and the worldly stuff is dead to me. You don't need rules for a dead man. What you need is a new man. Verse 15, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And there is Galatians. You are new, and you are free, arms and eyes all free to worship God and love others. But there is still one tie that binds. The love of Christ constrains us. And there in his love, walking in the Spirit and enjoying his grace, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and teaching pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.
Say that again. Welcome to Through the Word.
Welcome to Through the Word. You said that's your tone.